The reading this morning is taken from the Epistle to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 4 and verses 1 to 13. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worth of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Thanks be to God.
So I'm speaking in a short while about saved to save. As you may all be aware and have seen, our text for today, like many others, is loaded with a lot of things. It's packed with different wonderful things. But basically today, because we cannot feed on everything, I'll be mainly focusing on verses number 7 and verses number 11. And verses number 7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. But to each one of us. Would you mind to just repeat after me? But to each one of us. Once again, but to each one of us.
But to each one of us.
Grace has been given.
Grace has been given.
As Christ apportioned it.
As Christ apportioned it.
Don't worry, I'll not make you repeat verses 11 because I don't like it very much these days. You'll see why I don't like it very much. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. This is why I don't like it. It's an exclusive. It excludes a lot. I love verses 7. But to each one of us, each one of us, but verses 11 says, Christ gave the apostles. Other translation will say, but Christ gave some to be apostles, prophets, and the rest of the list, which is the fivefold ministry, which is usually talked about. Oh, but oh, let us start on, lest we... Until we challenge the beliefs that ministry is only the preserve of the ministers, until that belief is challenged, that only ministers and someone else or somebody else should do God's work in the church, then serving Christ in our city or in our community will die out slowly but sure until we challenge this myth. Why? Because we all have gifts and abilities. Like verses 7 says, to each one of us has been given an ability. Each one of us brings something on that. Unless we grab that, unless we take it by force, that each one of us has been given something, then our presence as a church will continue dying out time and again. But then I'm saying, it is not your fault, it is not my fault that this is how ministry has been taken. That believing the ministers should do the pastoral care, the ministers should do the preaching alone, the ministers should do whatever alone, ministers should do the funerals alone. It's not your problem. It has been inherited. When we miss that, you know, we miss out the joys that come in saving people and saving God. Because each one of us, our lives are purposed. God gave them purpose. And once you miss out in serving, in doing that purpose, we miss out the joys. The problem that gave us a belief or that has made us to think that only the ministers are the ones to serve is a problem of the Middle Ages. The church in the Middle Ages especially taught people that only the clergy were the ones to minister. Why? Mostly was to make the clergy the most important. Just like the legal practitioners in Zambia, until now, after independence, there are less than 1,500 lawyers in the country against a population of 20 million in Zambia. That makes the legal fees high because, you know, the supply and demand, you know. In Zambia, they make it even worse when there are 1,000 lawyers sitting for the bar exams, only 5 will have to pass. The ministers made sure they kept the Bible to themselves and the ministry to themselves. And then they became the important of the community. Unfortunately, this issue slipped through even the Reformation until now. Basically, the Reformation was a revolution which took back the Bible back to the church. But unfortunately, the ministry still remained reserved with the clergy. a good example, just before the Reformation, a story of the Waldensians in Lyons, in France, who later formed what is known the Moravian Church. They were just lay members of a church who decided to teach and live by the gospel. But the Archbishop of Lyons, like it was then, tried to stop them. Because public preaching, according to the rules those days, was a preserve of the ministers. And I was shocked that in the Church of Scotland, it's still the preserve of the ministers. Until a minister is seated here, that's when you can preach. But we send you to go and preach. Are we there? Do we know what you're even preaching, actually? The Waldensians responded that they had chosen to follow the example of the apostles, who were just simple fishermen. Actually, the Reformation of England was built on the work of the lay people, the Lollards. The Lollards traveled to read, preach in marketplaces, and sing the scriptures. This is why I don't like verses 11. And unfortunately, most commentators of the Bible, most commentators of the book of Ephesians usually emphasize on verses 11, explaining what the apostles, who the apostles, who, whether they still exist or they don't. For me, that's an exclusive verse. It focuses on the roles of ministers, which is important, of course, but does not highlight verses 7. And like I said, verses 7 tells us that each one of us has been given an ability. If you think that you cannot do these church things, I'm here to tell you that you have been given an ability. It might not be like me to stand here and preach. It might not be like some of those who pray for people, cast out devils, or prophesy, or do these other things. But you and me have been given something. Each one of us has got something to use, something to minister, something to uplift, something to just make someone smile. Some of us are already doing something. The duty of the ministers is to equip the saints, is to make sure to help that each one of us in the church is doing what they are able to do. That is the duty of the minister. Actually, it is also my duty to make sure that you stand and preach. Anyway, I'm not trying to bring something new. This is what I believe the works of a church are. The works of a church is what the Holy Spirit enables both the ministers and you, the children of God, to do in order for us to reach out to many with the love of God. And I have come to a realization, or have discovered, that actually my gifting mainly and mostly is just basically to help people identify their gifts, nurture them, and just fire them so that they can operate in what they do best. If it's to just say hello to someone, if it's just to smile to someone, if it's just to set the table, if it's just to sing, if it's just to be on the tech, if it's just to pray for someone, even when they do not know, if it's just to bring these lovely flowers. You can see these lovely flowers, just these here. Some people, when they just come in, just to see them, they smile, even if their hearts were downcasted. Each one of us has the ability, those flowers. The tree, some people smile just there. Each one of us has been given an ability, and the abilities might be different. That's what I've come to realize. The dangers when each one of us is not participating is that God's work suffers. And number two is that those who always volunteer, they will burn out and will lose out all of us when they burn out. And this is where I was thinking about one of the good news here at Dandilo Parish is that we have two ministers. Two. Peter and Stuart. Two. If you don't realize that it's not even a gift, it's more than a gift. I have friends, ministers, even some who are in my cohort. They are overseeing 4 centers in their parish, and they are just one ball. And they are not in the city where to walk, you can even walk from the steeple to the courtside. I visited certain churches when I was also searching where you have to drive 10 miles the other, 5 miles the other, 3 miles the other, and you do the first service, the later service, and they say you have to do 3. Then we can negotiate whether you'll be keeping only 2, and we think where the third one will take it. And that person does the pastoral work. That person has schools in those, all those. Oh, God. When I came here at the steep, I say, oh, God, what a blessing in disguise. Because we are 2. We are 2. And you know, the steeple is a gathered congregation. There are no schools here. So the schools are only the courtside centers. Oh, God, you have 2 ministers. You might not have them in the near future, 2 of them. Because I've heard others who have spoken to me about, oh, so 2 of you. So how do you? I say, oh, these, what are they saying? You know, they look at us and say, we are privileged to have 2 ministers, because others are actually looking for 1, and they haven't found that 1. So we can use these 2 ministers to build ourselves so that we may be able to participate in God's mission. Whether what Peter preaches is good or not good, that's a different matter, but at least you have him. You know, when you do God's work together, the task becomes simple. Where I come from in Africa, we say it's not easy for someone to finish eating an elephant or even carrying it. But when the community takes turns, what is the elephant? In a day's time, it will be finished because each one will just come, get their part, and oh, you only see that, you only hear stories that there was an elephant here because people eat. It's easier when the community take turns, when we work together. The work of God, when we do it together, it's easier and it's marvelous. What part are you taking in this church? Do you know that even you, I'm not speaking to your neighbor, I'm speaking to you, that even you, God has given you an ability to benefit, to be a benefit to the church. These are Zambian vibes I'm now using to say I'm not talking to your neighbor, I'm talking to you. Because in Zambia, when you are speaking to the church, the members of a church, they'll be looking for who the minister is talking to, not themselves. So in Zambia, we try to remind, say, not your neighbor, but you. Or we may say it in another way. We may say your neighbor is a problem. You will not listen or she will not listen. But you at least will listen. You have been given an ability. You have something. You have something that the church may benefit from. The moment you are able to spot that something is not working or is not going on well in the church, then that's the beginning of your calling. God is opening your eyes to see where need lies so that you can participate. I'll say what we say in Zambia. You know, in Zambia, we are originally, we don't speak English from birth. We speak our vernacular. So we speak English in our own way sometimes, you know. So I'll repeat this one for the second time to make it twice. The moment you see something isn't working in the church, God might be calling you to participate. The Holy Spirit is there. He has given and gives and continues to give abilities. In short, each one of us has been saved to be of service to God and His people. In case you are still wondering whether you have been given the ability, whether you have been called to do something, even maybe if you are still not sure, may I ask this question? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you given your life to Christ Jesus? Have you realized that Jesus died for you? Revelation chapter 3, verses 20, the Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and eat with them. Christ always is knocking at our hearts. Always knocking at our hearts. That we may open our hearts and accept that death on the cross of Calvary also covers us. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, was also for us. Christ is still knocking at the door. Every time we hear music, songs being sung, a word being preached, the Bible being read, someone telling us about Jesus, or someone smiling at us, Christ is knocking and is asking, what are you doing? You are able. Accept that Jesus is your Lord. Accept that He loves you. Accept that He has forgiven you. Accept that Jesus counts you. There are some people amongst us who've never thought, who've never accepted that Christ truly cares for them, because they've never seen anyone care for them at any time. Some of us doubt when we speak that Christ loves you, because in your lives, you have never seen anyone count you. It is my prayer that God gives us hope. Would you pray after me? Or would you pray with me? I'll just do 1, 2, 3, then we start. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Lord Jesus, thank you for this chance to hear your word. I'm a sinner, but I'm happy that on the cross you took the sins away from me. I open my heart for you to reign. Thank you that you love me. I believe you came for me. Amen.